Hey everyone, Eva Thompson here. Welcome back to another video, or if you're listening to this on our podcast on Spotify or on Apple Podcasts, I really appreciate you tuning in today. And I want to talk to you about three things that may be keeping you stuck if you are struggling with retroactive jealousy. So basically, if you are bothered by your partner's past. I'm also going to be giving you some ways to stop sabotaging your own recovery, because I think it's important to recognize the negative, but of course, what's even more important is to work towards recovery, work towards the positive, work towards overcoming it. So without further ado, let's get into this video. Now, the first thing I see people do that tends to keep them stuck in RJ is the indecision when it comes to your relationship and staying with your partner. And this is not really your fault, because typically with retroactive jealousy, what tends to happen is we get intrusive thoughts, we get mental movies, and we feel all of these emotions flooding in, and everything that we logically know and think and feel goes out the window. So you might be thinking to yourself, I want to be with this person, I really do love them, I really do want to be with them, but when I get triggered, everything changes. I question the relationship, I question them and who they are, I question if I want to be with them, I need to know more about their past sometimes, I might act out compulsions. And this back and forth very much can keep you stuck, and it can also keep you from making a decision of, okay, well, do you want to stay with them or do you want to go? It's really important to take responsibility, guys, for the retroactive jealousy. It's not your fault that it has happened to you, that you have this, but it is your responsibility. So I would encourage you to start doing some research on why you might be experiencing this. If you need to reach out for help, go ahead and do so. Maybe read some books on it. What is RJ? What could it be about for you? Because even though people that struggle with RJ might have similar symptoms, that doesn't mean that they all struggle because of the same reason. For some people, maybe they really are incompatible with their partner. Maybe the only thing that's keeping you in the relationship is the fear of being alone. That's not where you want to be. Maybe the partner that you are with is absolutely wonderful and they are meant for you, but past trauma or insecurities or fears around commitment or what people might think of them or say about them is keeping you from being happy. Either way, I really do encourage you to work on the RJ, because you either will find out that this partner wasn't for you and it wasn't the RJ, it was just incompatibility, or you'll end up happier in your relationship, able to be present with them and actually look forward to a future instead of questioning the past all the time. Another reason could be growing up with very judgmental parents that see things as very black and white, and you took that trait on. Your mind can't hold conflicting beliefs. So if you grew up a certain way, believing certain things and putting people in boxes, for example, women that engage in casual relationships are unworthy or they are less than, and then you meet someone, you fall in love with them, you put them on a pedestal, you think they're the one for you, and then you find out that they've done things that supposedly in your reality before would be deemed unworthy or less than. That's a conflicting reality right there. It's a conflicting belief. So you need to pinpoint these things and choose what you want to believe in and who you want to be, and if your partner can still exist in your world once you make those decisions. Another example is not feeling lovable enough or special enough or good enough. And so when your partner comes along and tells you that they do love you, that they do want to be with you, that they don't care about their past, you're unable to accept that as a reality, when actually you can see in their eyes and in their actions that they mean it. Like I said, it could be a whole host of things. The root cause really depends on the human being and what they've been through and who they want to be going forward. Maybe you're not compatible, but maybe you are, and it's just your fears and insecurities that are holding you back. Either way, you need to take responsibility for the retroactive jealousy and figure out what it's trying to tell you and what it's trying to teach you. I've talked about this before. You don't have to love your partner's past or accept it or agree with it in order for you to be with them. There is a level of indifference that you can feel for it. But again, you need to understand why your mind is viewing this as a threat. The second thing I see people do, which keeps them stuck, is feeding into compulsions. When you feed into a compulsion, compulsion, when you ask the question, when you look at the ex's social media, when you go through your partner's phone or their messages, their photos from the past, you are feeding the beast. You're making retroactive jealousy stronger. What you need to understand here is that your mind is convincing you that in the moment when you are in pain, when you are triggered, when you're getting these thoughts in the mental movies, it's looking for a relief. Your mind is trying to move you away from pain and towards pleasure. And it doesn't matter if the relief is temporary, it doesn't matter if it's healthy, it doesn't matter if it's good or bad for your future. What your mind wants when you're in that intense pain, when you feel the anxiety, when you feel the anger, when you feel the sadness, is to take you away from that and move you towards safety. And if acting out of compulsion is what it thinks will do that, it will push you towards this. So an example is if you get the thought, if you get the mental movie and you're in pain, your mind will tell you, go and ask him this question. If only you knew this little detail, maybe you would feel okay. I need to find out more. I need to put this puzzle together in my mind. I need to understand why they did it. I need to know. I need to know the details. I need to know if it was similar to our experience together, if they went to this place together, if they went to this restaurant together that we went to, if they had these experiences. Your mind convinces you that you need to do this when you actually don't. And again, it's not because your mind hates you. It's because your mind is trying to keep you safe. It's trying to move you away from pain and towards pleasure, towards safety. What you can do here is rewire what safety is. And this will take some time. I would recommend doing it for at least 21 days because it takes that much time for your mind to make what is familiar, unfamiliar, and vice versa. So what this would look like, for example, is you get triggered. Instead of listening to your mind when it's telling you, go and act out a compulsion so you can feel better, instead, go for a walk, do some breathing exercises, write down all your thoughts in a journal and just leave it. Whatever your hobbies are, whatever you enjoy to do, whatever relaxes you, do that. And it is so difficult to do initially. But what you're doing is you're rewiring what is safety and what is pleasure for your own mind. So when you get triggered, instead of acting out of compulsion, now you're going to journal, now you're going to do breathing exercises, now you're going to meditate, now you're going to go for a walk, now you're just going to go sit in a room by yourself and just wait until it passes. It is possible to do, but again, it takes a good month, more or less, for it to become easy and familiar. The third and final thing that I see people do, which keeps them very stuck in retroactive jealousy, is using it as an excuse. Getting into groups on the internet and talking to other people that have RJ, which does bring about this feeling of relief, this feeling of belonging, this feeling of I'm not alone, I don't struggle with this by myself. People out there understand me, people out there get it. But if you are in groups with people, or you are discussing this issue with people that have the same issue with you, you're not gonna get over it. Because if people that have RJ knew how to overcome RJ, they wouldn't be talking to you about it. So although I know having RJ can be very isolating and you can feel like no one understands you and you can feel crazy and you can feel like what you're thinking and feeling doesn't make sense perhaps. And of course, the first time that you find out that retroactive jealousy is a term, it's perfectly okay to feel a sense of relief because now this thing has a name. Now you know other people struggle. Now you know that you're not alone. But what I'm saying is don't get stuck in that, where you go online and you ask other people about your partner's situation and you start trusting their judgment over your own. No one knows your partner the way that you know your partner. So don't go asking strangers on the internet for their opinion. And don't make the retroactive jealousy an excuse as to why you shame and blame your partner, or you shut down, or you stalk their ex on social media, or you look through their phone and through their private messages. Avoid doing that. Just because it has a name, again, it's not your fault that you have this, but it is your responsibility. And it's easy to just get stuck in this cycle of, I don't want to break up with them, but when I'm triggered, I really don't want to be with them. I really don't like them much. I know it's not their fault that I struggle with this, but I really feel like it is when I'm triggered. I want to get over it, but all I do is talk about it with people that have RJ, or because I want them to validate my feelings around it and tell me that that I'm right or that they understand me. Acting out compulsions, seeking validation, starting arguments as a way to seek validation, or shutting down so your partner can ask you what's wrong and they can give you reassurance. All of these things keep you stuck. So like I said, guys, what really helped me is taking responsibility, making a decision, not acting out the compulsions anymore, and surrounding myself with people that I want to be like. People that don't have RJ, people that aren't insecure, people that don't have these fears. So guys, I hope you enjoyed this video. If you've got any questions, please feel free to leave them down in the comment section below. and I will do my best to answer them all. I am hosting a webinar this Saturday, and it's going to go up on the website afterwards regarding my experience with RJ, how I was able to overcome it, the 10 principles of the mind, and how they really helped me on my recovery journey. And I'm also going to dedicate some time for your questions at the end. So guys, I really hope that you enjoy this video. If you've got any questions, please leave them down in the comment section below, and I will see you soon. Take care.